Remo woke up, and it was a beautiful day in New Zealand where he lived. So he called his brother and said, "It is sunny, it is nice, let's go to the beach." So his brother came and picked him up, and they drove 50 miles from where he lived to the Bay of Plenty in New Zealand. We've got a picture of it here. Wouldn't it be nice to be there right now? So they drove the 50 miles, they got there, they fished, they did all kinds of stuff like that. But at some point during the day, they got into an argument that turned into a fight. And Remo's brother got up and stormed off, got in the car, drove off, and left him there stranded. No way to get home. He didn't have any money or anything on him. He couldn't call a cab. So, you know, it's New Zealand. He just slept on the beach that night. Maybe my brother will come pick me up later when he cools down. But his brother never came. So when he woke up in the morning, he said, "All right, I'm going to have to walk. But I don't want to walk 50 miles. Maybe I can get a shortcut." So he takes out his phone and he goes to Google Maps. And he, you know, says, "Give me directions home. Give me, you know, the shortest route home." And Google Maps recommends to him that he could save 15 miles. I mean, he's still got to walk 35 miles. But save 15 miles, that's a pretty good shortcut. If he would just swim across this one section where the river empties out into the bay and the sea. It's all he's got to do. And that doesn't look too bad right there. Just swim across that section and you'll be okay. Those of you who know anything about rivers and how they meet the ocean, you'll know that this is called a tidal estuary. And just picture a river running down the mountain with all the force, and picture what happens when it hits the bay and the currents that are formed. It's a dangerous thing to do, and Remo was about to figure that out. As soon as he started to try to swim across, he got caught in a riptide that pulled him a mile and a half out into the bay, a mile and a half away from the shore. Thankfully, he caught a piece of driftwood and was able to kind of float on it, and he was trying to make his way back, but the current was still so strong, it was like impenetrable. He couldn't get back to the shore, and he began to think, I'm in trouble here. I got to try and get some help. So he took his phone out of his pocket, and thankfully it was still working. And so he called the police, and they got in touch with the local life-saving volunteer club, because that's how they work it there. And after 3 hours in the water, a guy pulled up on a jet ski and pulled him out of the water and brought him to the hospital. Shortcuts seem great, but shortcuts can be really, really dangerous. For these few weeks here, we're talking about dealing with temptation. And one of the strongest temptations you and I face in life will be the temptation of shortcuts that will be presented to us all along the way. Shortcuts. There's a purpose and a plan that God has for your life and my life. A purpose, a direction for us to head, a goal, an ultimate place where He wants us to get to that goes beyond this life. And along the way, while you and I live here, shortcuts are going to present themselves. And they're going to say, "Hey, you know, I've got an easier way to get to comfort and security and whatever else than following God's way and living God's way. Just do this. It'll be so much easier." But those shortcuts aren't going to get you where you want to go. They're going to drag you out to sea and drown you. So it's really important, as you and I learn through these few weeks here, how do we identify and wrestle with temptation? We want to know how to recognize shortcuts when they're being presented to us. And we want to learn how do we deal with these shortcuts. So let's look at Jesus and his encounter with Satan in the wilderness there and the second temptation. So it's Luke chapter 4. Again, you can follow along if you have our app on your phone or device. You can follow along there and take notes. If you don't have it, just go to the App Store and Freedom Hill Community Church and download it. Follow along, take notes there. You can also just follow on the screen here, or in your own Bible is a great place to follow along so you can read more later. But Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 says this: "The devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want to. If you will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" So let's recognize shortcuts, first of all, and what they are. Shortcuts offer a destination without the journey to the destination. Shortcuts offer a destination without the journey. That's what Satan's offering Jesus here. It's like, Jesus, come on. Where do you want to end up? Where do you want to end up today? You want to have power and glory over the earth? Okay. You don't have to go this long, painful route you're about to go. You don't have to go this and suffer and go to the cross and suffer all that stuff. You don't have to deal with that, Jesus. I can give it to you right now today. Just, I got a shortcut. Last week, Satan tempted Jesus' human weakness by appealing to his appetites. And those are strong. We all know our appetites are very strong. Today, what we're reading is Satan appealing to Jesus' desire, very human desire that we all have, to avoid pain, to avoid trouble. You and I are built to avoid pain and trouble as much as we possibly can. We'll do anything we can to skip it. And that's what Satan's offering Jesus here. Skip it. I can give you the glory without the cross. I can give you the power without the suffering. Please, let me help you. I can get you where you want to go so much faster and easier. Shortcuts promise the destination without the journey. We all want minimal pain. If someone offers you a way to get fit with no pain, you're going to take it, right? If I can be fit lose weight just by taking a pill, give me the pill, right? That's why so many people buy that stuff that's promoted online, and people get rich off of people buying things that are just shortcuts where I don't have to work hard. Just get me right to the destination I want to get to. I can be rich without having to like work really hard and be smart and like be careful and frugal. Oh, I could just buy this and invest in this or follow this plan. And so people pour their money and pour their time and energy into quick shortcuts and get burned by them because they promise a destination without the journey. And in every way in our lives, whether it's, I can get a better job with no pain, or I can get a better family with no pain. Well, what do I have to do, Let me follow that shortcut to get away from the trouble in my family to get over to this better place, a better family. We see it all the time. I see it all the time with young couples who max out credit cards trying to achieve a standard of living that their parents only achieved after 20 or 30 years of working hard and saving. But they think, oh, this is the way I'm supposed to live. And so they put it on their credit cards and they take the shortcut and they end up washed out. Couples who want intimacy and to have a mature, loving relationship that, you see those older couples who still, they love each other so much and they lean on each other and compliment each other so much and work so well together. And other couples, I want to have that relationship. But then if they're not getting it or it's difficult to get it, what do we do? Well, the chemistry must not be right. I need to take a shortcut, quit this, and maybe find another person where it'll be easier. And we chase these shortcuts. And it happens all the time. People want to be part of real Christian community with people who really care about them and care for one another and do things for God without actually themselves investing the time and the energy and the self-sacrifice it takes to build that kind of community. Let me just find a church that has it for me and gives it to me. We like things to be ready-made for us. Once you start recognizing the temptation of the shortcut, I guarantee you, you'll start to see it everywhere you go in life. Shortcuts are all around us. Christine and I were watching a show the other day, just the beginning of a show, and it was set in the 1800s, I think, and they had to, cook. What are they going to have for dinner that night? Chicken. What do you and I do? If we need to get chicken really quick, the quickest way we do it, well, you could just doot-doot-doot, bring me chicken. Someone will bring you chicken. Or, I could just stop by a supermarket. They've got it already cooked right there. I bring it home. It's already warm, ready to go. Just make sure I don't eat that elastic thing they tie the legs up with, and that's the only thing I have to worry about. We were watching the show, and okay, we're going to have chicken for dinner. Someone has to walk down to the well that's like, however many hundred yards away with the thing, the stick and the buckets, and get water. Someone's got to go get the chicken and kill it, drain its blood. Someone's got to pull the feathers out, clean it, get the yucky stuff out of the inside. This is what we used to have to do. Nowadays, you and I, we are used to having things ready-made for us. And once you start to see how full of shortcuts life has become, and that doesn't mean being efficient is bad. It's just we're used to just getting things quickly. And we lose the value of the journey. We just want the destinations. It's becoming a way of life. Anytime you're offered the chance to skip the path and go straight to the promise, you know you're being lied to. You're being lured by a temptation. Recognize that. And then recognize this. Satan's shortcuts come up short. They always do. Look at the destination that Satan actually offers Jesus. Let's examine this closely today. So go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Look at what Satan offers as a destination. He takes him, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I will give you all their authority and splendor. Everything you see here, Jesus, I'll give it to you. Right? Someone gave it to me, and I'll give it to anyone I want to. So try to picture this, what Jesus is seeing. He's getting a glimpse of the entire world and seeing every palace, every army, every bank, every storehouse. He's seeing it all, and this could all be his. Everything on earth, all the people of the earth could be his. That's what Satan's offering him. And I'll put it all in your hands right now today. But like every one of the thousands of commercials and ads that you and I encounter every day, Satan is overpromising. He can't really deliver the ultimate goal Jesus is after. He's offering something that actually comes up a bit short, because all of his shortcuts do. So let's think for a moment. What is the destination Jesus is actually after? Because that gives us a clue about the destination we're after, too. It should follow in his footsteps. So we're going to fast forward. Spoiler alert, Jesus isn't going to give in to Satan here. We're going to skip past that. He's going to do what he's supposed to do. He's going to be faithful. He's going to walk the journey all the way and get to the destination God has for him. And there's a nice little song that kind of packs it all in, and we can read it in Philippians chapter 2. And let's just go there. I know you've heard this many times, but it gives us the journey and the destination. Let's examine that for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to or take advantage of. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. This is the journey part. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus took the whole journey, didn't skip a minute of it. He took the hard road all the way. And look at the destination. Look closely here at the destination he arrives at, verse 9. Therefore, God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, wait, isn't that what Satan offered? I'll give you everything? Well, no. Look again really closely now at what it is exactly that Satan offered Jesus in verse 6. He says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me. I can give it to whomever I want. So first of all, Satan admits something that's very key that you and I should recognize whenever we're facing shortcuts to what God has for us. All of Satan's ability to give you anything, it's derivative. He has no power and authority on his own. It's been given to him. He's been allowed to hold on to it. He has a grip on it for now. And so that means he can't give Jesus anything more than a temporary grip on power and glory of this world. That's as far as it can go. Not only that, not only is it just a temporary thing, because the only authority and power he really has is temporary and tied to this world. Not only that, there are a few significant ways that Satan, his shortcut, comes up short of what Jesus actually achieves, what God actually does in his life. One, Satan offers power and authority and glory over the earth if Jesus will follow him. Jesus instead follows God the Father, and what does he receive in verse 10? He receives authority over heaven and earth and everything under the earth. In other words, all the universe, all of creation. So, that's not the same, is it? That's not the same as just being given power over these kingdoms and rulers of the earth. To be given the name that is above all names and authority over all creation, that's a different thing. It's bigger. It's greater. So Satan's shortcut comes up short. It doesn't even meet what God has for Jesus. Third, in Jesus' actual destination, verse 11, look at the end of the verse. God the Father gets all the glory, receives glory because of Jesus' humble obedience and loving sacrifice. In Satan's shortcut world, in the shortcut destination, what does God the Father get? Humiliation, rejection. who gets the glory ultimately in that destination? Satan. That's the difference between the shortcut comes up short. It doesn't get to where God's actually bringing Jesus. Now stop and think about this. Stop and think about this in terms of our own lives and all the shortcuts that we face. Think of it in terms of money. Think of it in terms of wealth. Think of it in terms of fame and popularity. Think of it, all the different things that you and I are lured to, or that everyone is lured to and that work so hard for. Think in terms of all the accomplishments, all the things that might make you feel like you have some sense of power, some sense of glory, some sense of security. Think about all those things and recognize if they're based in this world, if it's just you went this world's way to get them and they're something of this world, then they are only temporary. They are fleeting. They don't last. That's much shorter than what God wants to give you. That's much less than what God wants to give those who are faithful to him. It's just tied to this world, which means it's going to dissolve in your hands. It's going to turn bitter and dissolve and fade into nothing, because that's what Satan's shortcuts do. And in the end, what's going to happen is, who's going to get the glory? Satan's going to get the glory. Who are you going to end up serving? Satan, the enemy of your soul, as opposed to the one who loves you and created you and died for you. In this shortcut world, you and I need to make this choice that we're going to take the Jesus journey and walk the way Jesus walked and say no to all these other shortcuts, because they come up short. They're tied only to this world. They don't get you to God and to the glory he wants to give you. They don't compare in the end. And in the end, you end up far away from God. Shortcuts come up short. And shortcuts, third, they have a steep, steep cost. Satan's shortcuts have a steep cost. Many times we think shortcuts are great because they seem cheaper and easier. They're going to take less energy, less time. But already you've started to see shortcuts have a cost. There was a cost in everything we just read there. Let's look back at it again. Verse 7, what's the cost? What's the price tag on this shortcut? Satan offers Jesus a shortcut that's going to not even get Jesus where he really wants to go. But there's a price tag on that shortcut that's kind of maybe hidden and you may not see it. What's the price tag? If you just, you know, serve me, worship me. Come on, Jesus, all you have to do is, it's only right, you know, just follow me and serve me. And I'll give you everything without the pain and suffering. Come on, isn't that a better deal? Isn't that so much a better deal? And Jesus answers him. And this is important for you and I. If we want to know when you recognize you're being tempted by a shortcut to not go God's way in life, but to chase after something that's going to come up short, we need to know how to respond. So how does Jesus respond? He quotes scripture and says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Well, what does that mean? What is Jesus doing there? Is that Jesus saying, well, no, sorry, the rules say I'm not allowed to. See, it says right here, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not allowed to. I'm not supposed to. Is that what Jesus is doing, just quoting a rule? I've heard us do that many times. I've heard people do that. I'm sure I've done it. Where you say, well, the Bible just says I'm not supposed to, so I'm just not supposed to do that. It's like a little kid talking about things their parents tell them not to do. And as far as they know, it's just, oh, because mommy says no. It's because daddy says no. They don't understand why. But God wants so much more than that for you and I. He wants us to see what's behind this. And what Jesus, what he's quoting from Deuteronomy is not, oh, here's the rule that I am not allowed to break. It's Jesus pointing to the cost that he's not willing to pay. There's a cost behind this. And so he quotes this warning that Moses gave to the people of God when they were being tempted to take shortcuts. They're being tempted to take shortcuts and just follow, oh, I like the way these people do things when they want to get their crops to grow. It seems so much easier than doing the way God tells us to do it. And so they're tempted to take a shortcut and follow their way when they want their crops to grow, when they want to have more military security, when they want to have greater fertility, when they want to see things just get better economically. They start to be attracted to the ways everyone else is doing it. That seems more like it's going to work. It seems like a shortcut that's going to get them there. And they're tempted to not follow and obey God's way in doing this. And so Moses gives them this warning. You worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the next thing he says is, because if you go chasing after shortcuts, you're going to pay the cost. And the cost is you're going to lose the very destination you were chasing after. The cost is everything. The cost is going to be your relationship with God. You're going to lose God, he tells them. And if you lose God, you've lost everything. Everything. The shortcut will cost you the very destination it's pretending to give you. It'll cost you your relationship with God. That's what shortcuts cost in the end. That's what Satan's shortcuts cost. There's a movie called Click. It's a pretty old movie at this point, depending on how old you are. But it's supposed to be a comedy, but honestly, it is one of the saddest movies I have ever seen in my life. And the basic premise is this. There's a guy who's got his family, and he's an architect. He's up and coming. He's very talented. And one day he comes home, and he's frustrated, and he's tired, and the dog ate the remote control. So he goes to Bed Bath & Beyond to find a universal remote for his television and audio system. And so he goes, and he's asking, and they say, you got to go to the back. You want to go to the Beyond section. And so he goes to the Beyond section, and he meets this really weird guy there who has this very weird remote control. And he says, you can control everything in your life with this remote. So imagine this. Imagine, and I've tried it. I've pointed the remote control at my wife sometimes, and I hit the pause button because she looks so pretty. What were you thinking? I was going to hit the mute button? Come on. No. But, imagine having a remote control that you could use to, just control the things going on. And so as soon as he goes home, he starts to use it. His wife's nagging him. He mutes her so he doesn't have to hear it. The kids are being annoying. Fast forward through that moment. He's got to change the poopy diaper. Fast forward through that moment. He's sitting in a really boring meeting. Fast forward through that moment. He begins to skip and fast forward through and mute all the difficult parts of life to get to the good parts. To get to the part where he's rich and successful and his family's already, they're really good and they're happy and there's no more trouble and no more diapers and no more this and no more that. And you get to the end of the movie and he's fast forwarded through everything. And he finds himself an old man with no relationship with his family or his friends because he skipped all of the parts to try to get to the good part. And what he didn't understand is there are no good parts to fast forward to if you're not putting in the work of the journey that builds toward the good points. The journey and the destination are connected. You don't build affectionate, beautiful relationships with your family and people by disengaging from them. And you don't arrive at the place where God glorifies you by taking shortcuts through disobedience. You don't arrive at this loving relationship with Jesus by failing to trust and follow him and just going your own way, by saying, no, Jesus, I'm going to trust and follow you. I'll meet you over there. At the end point, I found a better way to get there. You don't get there by doing that. You don't get to this destination of this relationship with God by walking your own way and disobeying him. The journey and the destination are inextricably linked together. Shortcuts promise us that we can get to places that only God can really bring us to without the journey, without the pain, without the suffering, without the obedience and the difficulty. And that's just not true. They'll get you somewhere, but it won't be where you want it to go. It won't even be close. There are no shortcuts to the destination that God has for you and for me. This isn't the only time Jesus is going to face this temptation. It's going to come up again as it's getting close to the end of Jesus' life and as he's making his way to Jerusalem. At one point, he stops and he tells his disciples, I'm headed to Jerusalem now, guys. And when we get there, some bad things are going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested and beaten, and I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And Peter grabs Jesus and takes him aside. He says, shut up. What are you saying? You're freaking everybody out. You got to stop talking that way, Jesus. That's not what's going to happen. We're going straight to glory. Come on, have you seen? Did you see all the people who you fed? Did you see the lame guys who walked? Come on, Jesus, you can walk on water. How in the world is anything going to stop us? We're going straight to glory. And Jesus, hearing Peter tell him to stop talking about the journey he's about to take, Jesus turns to him and says, get away from me, Satan, because he realizes it's Satan throwing his last punches. These are those shortcut temptations. And Satan's getting in his last licks, but he's using Jesus' friend Peter to do it. And Jesus tells Peter, you are a dangerous trap to me You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. How did Jesus know? Because Jesus was deeply connected to the Father and committed to the journey so that he could arrive at the destination without being tempted by the shortcuts. I'm sure Jesus wanted to get away from the suffering and pain. We know he did. We see how he prayed that last night. He did not want to go through that agony and suffering and pain and rejection. It was so much deeper than you and I can really even fathom. We can stare at the cross all day long. We still can't fathom what it was to empty himself of his rights as God and become like us and be killed by us. Forget all the physical pain. You and I can't imagine the emotional pain of that. And yet, this is what Jesus did. Peter wants to skip that, fast forward through that. Jesus, no suffering, no pain, right to glory. And Jesus recognizes this is just the same temptation over and over again coming back. And Jesus doesn't bite. He doesn't go for it and say, "You're right, Peter, let's get out of here." Instead, he turns and gives this, you know, one more last lesson to the disciples. And he says this, Matthew 16:24. He says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" I mean, you can take the shortcuts. You can get, you know, things that are close to what God has for us. But if they're costing you that final destination God has, they're not worth it. The lie of, you can just work all day long and neglect your family, neglect serving God's purposes in your life. Just chase the money, chase the job, right? You can chase after this, chase after that. You and I can, this will get you glory. This will get you comfort. If you just had a bigger house, you'd be so much more comfortable. If you just, go ahead and put that on your credit card, you'll be so much more comfortable. You just need a different relationship because this one's not working. Not that you're not working and you just need to go through the difficult journey. Just skip out on that relationship. Start a new one. It'll be so much better. Right? The shortcuts all around us. But they don't get us where we want to go. They don't get us where God's calling us to be. If you want to get where Jesus is leading, you've got to take the journey that Jesus blazed for us. You've got to live the cross-shaped life. And that's how we get to God's destination, by rejecting the shortcut temptations. Worship team, would you come back? Look, let me ask you to think about today. Where are you tempted? Where are you tempted to take shortcuts? Where are you tempted to think, "Oh, if I follow that guy's plan, that's going to get me to a place of security. That's going to get me to a place of, happiness and joy and whatever, power." Where are you tempted to go against God's way? God's told us to live like him, to be like him, to be holy and just and righteous and good. And where in your life are you sacrificing living God's way, living a godly life, because, I just got to do what I got to do. I need to get that extra money. I need to get this so I can take care of my family. But you're sacrificing doing it God's way, doing it in a way that honors him. So you're lying, you're cheating, you're manipulating. You're taking shortcuts. Where are you being tempted? Where are you being tempted to follow shortcuts, thinking they're going to actually get you to a place that even compares to what God has for you? There are going to be times when you and I will want so badly to take shortcuts out of this desert wilderness. We don't want to walk this path that Jesus walked. He told us there would be trials, there would be suffering. It would not be easy to follow him in this world. Darlene mentioned it earlier when we were singing, that there will be trouble in this world. We know that's going to be the case. And everything in us wants to get away from that and take shortcuts to comfort, to avoid this path of Jesus. But those shortcuts come up cost, and they cost you everything. They require you to stop following Jesus and instead follow a lie spun by your enemy. At the end of your life, who will be standing there feeling glorified? Will it be God, or will it be the enemy of your soul? Because he's gotten you to take all of his shortcuts and serve him. Keep following Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Don't bite on all these temptations, because they're just looking to keep you trapped in the desert, trapped in the wilderness. They're not going to lead you out of it. keep following Jesus, and he will lead you to victory. Victory isn't rescue from that desert wilderness, but through it.